Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
Turn to the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter this morning. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
I'm not going to go into all those forms of the soul that we've talked about. Just as a reminder, there was that seed that went by the wayside. The birds of the air devoured it. We know the birds of the air. Jesus meant the devil stole that seed. The seed was the word of God. Got to keep all that in mind. Then there was some seed that fell on shallow soil. And it sprung up quickly, but did not have any roots. And when adversity came, it withered away and died. Then there was that stone, that was that thorny ground we talked about last week, where the seed, there was nothing wrong with the seed, it landed on some soil that received it, and it grew up, but the thorns of life choked the word of God out of the individual. Those thorns, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the pleasures of life, and the desire for other things. But this is wonderful right here, because when we get to verse 8, it says, but others fell on good ground. Would you say amen to that? Amen. Others fell on good ground, yielding a crop, some 100-fold and 60, some 30. And then verse 9 said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. I love that. I love that word today. But others fell on good ground. Good ground. And so may God bless the hearing and the reading of his word today. Amen? Amen. Good ground. And so today, I want to preach a message I've titled, Blessed Living. Blessed Living. Note again, some fell, it was on good ground, and there was a blessing of 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold blessing. Now, note in the song that we sang today, it said, I'm not here for blessing. For Lord, you don't know me, owe me anything. So that's certainly true. He doesn't owe us anything. But the reality is, probably one of the greatest desires, our greatest desire and need in our life is the blessing of God. Now, when I say blessing, I'm not talking about some kind of shallow, give me this, I want this kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. When I say blessing, I'm talking about the hand of God on mine and your life. We need that kind of blessing in our life. We need his hand extended to us and upon our life, our family, and if you have a business, you need God's hand upon that business. As believers, we need God's blessing. And again, I mean the hand of God upon us. We need that. Now, It's amazing when you look through the Bible, the theme of blessing just runs through the Bible. We can look to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And there we see Adam and Eve. And it said that the Lord blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. We see that word blessing there. We turn a few pages to Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. And it says that there it says that God blessed Noah and his sons. He blessed Noah and his sons. And then probably the most dynamic scripture of all in terms of thinking about blessing is Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. When God said to Abram, he said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of you and the blessing that comes in your life, Abraham. That is by far just a theme. Even the blessing of Abraham, and I'll show you in just a moment a little bit more about that. That runs through the entirety of Scripture. Blessing. In Psalm 3, verse 8, David talked about, he said, it's a very short verse. It says, salvation is of the Lord. And then it says that that God, the Lord calls his people blessed. Amen? Aren't you thankful that he calls his people blessed today? I love that. That's a wonderful, wonderful scripture. We can go to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, verse 2. And if you want to read a blessing, there God speaks over his people, the people of Israel. But in Christ Jesus, I want us to understand that you and I are recipients of blessing as well. And I'll show you that in just a moment. But read, starting with verse 2 in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, you can just read down through there. And I want to tell you that it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Now you say, well, that's great and good. That's Old Testament, Pastor. Well, let's go to the New Testament. And I want you specifically to see Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And I think we'll have that one on the screen. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Would you say, thank you, Jesus? Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Let's read that together. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now that word spiritual blessing, the word spiritual is not in the sense of spiritual versus material. So don't think of spiritual and versus material. In fact, when it says spiritual blessing, it's telling us that in spiritual blessing, that the blessing of God proceeds out of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. That's what the real meaning of that is. That it proceeds out of the ministry of the Holy Spirit into our life. That's where the spiritual blessings come from, because of what Jesus has done, because of what Jesus has accomplished. And I'll tell you what, that's not a bad scripture to get up every day and remind yourself of, that in Christ, you and I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we note there that Jesus is the key to it all there. He has made the way. Now I want you to see in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. It says, now this is beautiful now. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. having become a curse for us. Now we understand how we're brought into the blessing here now, because Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And that he fulfilled that prophecy when he went to the cross on our behalf. Notice this, that the blessing of Abraham, what the blessing of Abraham, Genesis 12 verses 2 and 3, the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that's non-Jews, that's you and I, might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice that the blessing of Abraham would come upon the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. How? Because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. When you see the word curse there, we're talking about sin. We're talking about what sin does, what disobedience to God does in our life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And Jesus took the curse of our sin and disobedience upon himself, that you and I might be blessed. That's where the blessing comes from. That's it. That's where the blessing comes from. Now, all ills, the ills of this world, are a result of sin. The curse of sin upon the world. Ultimately, this COVID pandemic and the coronavirus, that's of the devil. And it's come upon the world because of sin. We got to keep this in mind. But not just that. Every ill of the world, every disease, every terrible thing that has come that's in this world was introduced to this world because of the curse of sin. And it's important for us to understand that when we see bad things happening to good people, the reason is it rains on the just and the unjust, but that happens not because God doesn't like you. That happens because we live in a fallen world. But when we've placed our trust and our faith in Christ Jesus, we can live through it. We can live despite it, because Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of sin. Now, I want to just go ahead and tell you, if you are redeemed of the Lord, don't ever worry about somebody cursing you. Now, I'm not just talking about cursing you in terms of bad language. I'm talking about, don't you worry about all the things that the enemy will try to throw at you, and he'll try to convince you, well, I must be just something wrong with me because this is happening, that's happening. Don't you listen to that. If you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you've received him, you've accepted him, don't you worry about that stuff. You are his, you belong to him. So you stand strong in that. But the reality is that everything bar none that we look at in this world that is of evil origin and just pure out wrong in this world is because of the sin that came upon the human race when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and it And it was passed down from to us. And that's why all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the Bible says there's a second Adam. And what it refers to is Jesus Christ. Because when he took the curse of sin and our sin upon the cross, it also is passed down to you and I, that the blessing of life through Christ Jesus, he passed it to us. And he said, you're justified. You're justified. So what I want you to see today is blessing is centered in Jesus today. If you want blessed living and a blessed life, you've got to put your hope and trust in Jesus. He's the center of it all. But what we must remember, though, as he has done that, he also wants us to live in accordance with that. We talked about following Jesus a lot last week, and so he wants us to follow him, and in doing so, we need to follow him in obedience, because blessing is a part of the obedience that we in following Christ. And so when we're living in disobedience, the hand of God, there's some things that God cannot do for us if we are living in unrighteousness. He wants our following and our living and how we practice and how in the behavior of our life, in the practice of our life. I'm not talking about that we'll be absolutely perfect after we become a Christian. What I'm telling you is don't practice sin, meaning don't get in the habit and don't have a habit of doing wrong. You may say, well, I said something the other day I shouldn't have said. Well, don't just keep saying it. That's what I'm talking about. Don't just say, well, I did it the other day, I might as well just keep on doing it. No, don't practice sin. So we want the blessing of God. You see, and we have an option every day. We can live in the tree of life, or we can live in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can choose life, you can choose death, but God wants us to practice life. And not death. He wants us to practice righteousness, not unrighteousness. He wants us to practice holy living, not unholy living. He wants us to practice treating people right. He wants us to practice treating our neighbor right. He wants us to practice talking and walking right. Yes, on my best day, I might end up saying something that I regret later, but don't just keep doing it. Don't just keep practicing it. Because blessing, God cannot bless that is not in line with his will. He cannot bless disobedience. But nevertheless, we have a blessing in Christ Jesus, but we want blessing over all of our life, right? But Christ is the key. He's the center of it all. So how do we unleash that blessing in our life? Now, I want you to look at verse 16 of the same chapter. Verse 16, how to unleash this blessing in our life. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Notice that, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. We got to go back and remember the whole point of this parable is that we be not just have ears, but that we would hear. He's saying here that you would not just have eyes, but that you'll be able to see. If you've ever tried to get clarity about something, and you don't really understand it, and they're talking to you, and then all of a sudden they say, and you go, I see it now. Well, you literally wasn't seeing with your eyes necessarily, but you were just seeing it in your mind's eye. And so what he's saying is here, I want you to be able to see and to hear. I want you to get it. And if you'll get this, if you'll get this thing here of concerning the blessings of God and the promises of God concerning His Word having entrance into our heart and His Word being applied to our life and us living out what He wants us to do and say in this world, He's saying here, blessed is the person who can see with their eyes and to hear with their ears. This is how the blessing is unleashed in our life. Now, what is a blessing? So what is being blessed by the Lord? Well, the word blessing, when we study this out, it has to do with the Lord speaking well of us. That's really, when we think about blessing and we start looking at it in its context, It's the Lord speaking well of you. Think about it when He said that. It talked about entering the heaven and being accepted by God. He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." But what he did was he spoke well. When we see Him, God the Father, when Jesus was in the Jordan River and being baptized by John the Baptist, and God the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." That's the language of blessing there. It is God speaking well over us. And that's what we want. And what I'm saying to you is, when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have then been justified, you've been made right with God, and therefore he can speak blessing over us when we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior. But then furthermore, when we live according to what He has done in our life, that is Him speaking over us, Him speaking over us. And so I just want you to grab hold of this word. So blessing is to be spoken well of. Blessing is to convey gifts of love upon. And we see the Lord as He desires to do that, to convey His gifts of love upon us. The blessing of the Lord, notice this, it nullifies the curse of sin against us. Would you amen? The blessing of the Lord nullifies the curse of sin in our lives. Praise the name of the Lord. And then the blessing of the Lord gives us an abundant life. The blessing of the Lord is giving abundance in turn of our life, a living abundant life. And I want to talk and I want to remind you once again, when we speak to these things, we're talking about spiritual blessings. We're talking about God conveying upon us things of eternal quality, not just temporal things. There are things that He does. Listen, we need to thank God for everything that is temporary because He is a provider of the temporary. Would you say amen to that? He's still a provider, but I want to tell you, temporal things don't hold a candle to spiritual things. And just because the pictures that Brother Jack shared with us in the beginning, we may be looking at some little hut somewhere in a remote part of the earth, and we're somewhere where their economy is really struggles in some way. Don't be fooled to think some of them people are not blessed. You can be blessed living in a straw hut, because if you have eternal blessing upon your life, it far exceeds anything temporary in this world. Everything I've seen in this temporary world, it gets old and wears out. But I want to tell you, it's important to thank God for provision, thanking for clothing, thanking for food to eat, thanking for shelter, thanking for transportation. We thank you, Lord, but don't let those possessions own me. There's the difference. Do we own the possessions or do they own us? Meaning, or do they control my life? So we got to be careful about the temporal of this world because it's eternal things. You can gain the whole world, Jesus said, but lose your own soul. What does it profit a man if he does that? Nothing. Nothing. And so as we I want you to just see five words here and go back to verse 13. Verse 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. I want you to just pick up on a couple of words here. And the first one I want to mention to you, very important in terms of living in the blessing of God, blessed living. And the first one is hear, hear, H-E-A-R, hear. Because again, I won't spend much time on it because this series has focused on it, but I'm going to give it to you for those of you that may not have heard this, just a moment. Hearing, I've already mentioned it one time during the service, but hearing is not just having ears to it, but there's a hearing, meaning we want to apply it to our life. I want to apply God's word to my life. I want to hear it. I don't want to just to come to church and all this stuff just come at me and I've heard it, but it doesn't have any effect on my life. I want to be not a hearer only, but a doer. And really truly hearing is when we're a doer of the word. That's what real hearing is when it translates to doing. Hear translating to do. There's that word here. I want you to see in the same verse 13, the second word, and that is understand. Understand. Now, you say, well, aren't these words close to the same? They are close, but they can be a little bit different in that. But we want to understand. It's important for us to, as we live in the blessing of God, to understand what the will of the Lord is, to understand His purposes for our life. It's important for us to understand. God, help me to understand. Now, this word understand has a meaning like it is to when you get married and you become one flesh. That's what this word understand means. Just like when you get married and you become one flesh with your spouse, that's understanding. There's another word, it's called confluence. Confluence. When you look up the word confluence, it speaks to two separate rivers merging together. So just notice it just for a moment. Two separate rivers merging together. I have my earthly understanding. I have my education in this world. I have experiences in this life. I've learned some things just of living in this world, and I have some opinions, and I have some perspectives, and I have all of this stuff. But then God has truth, and so when understanding takes place, I'm living my own. I've got my own river over here. God has His river of truth. And when I come into understanding, there's a merging, a confluence, whereby now whatever God says has become my new river. Anybody got this? There is a, when we merge, we're not merging. We're not, then all of a sudden, it's not my opinion versus God. Well, we're in the same river, but God, you, I've got my thoughts about this. I know your word says this. No, no, no. It's when we, this confluence in this case is when we come together in oneness, and now we're saying, hey, God, I choose your truth over my opinion. And I'm entering into a new river of life. I'm entering into a new space now, and I'm flowing in your direction, not my own. God, I have united with you. I'm coming under your influence, God. And what you say over the matter is what matters. See, we live in this world where people's opinions want to dominate even what God says. This is why we have such a struggle in our society today, is because of the lack of the grasping of what biblical authority is all about. Listen, as a believer, what God says trumps my opinion. What God says about premarital sexual activity, it trumps my opinion. He says it's wrong. He says, the Bible says, no fornicator, which speaks to premarital and also to adultery, fornication speaks to that. It says, no fornicator shall enter the kingdom of God. I didn't say that. God said that. It said that homosexuality cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is not my opinion, folks. This is not the opinion of the Christian church in terms of human beings. This is the opinion of God. But it also speaks to truth and living and not cheating and not lying and speaking to people in the right way and loving our neighbor as ourself. This is not about condemnation, but it's about coming under the conviction that the word of God is true, and everything that man comes up and decides that is against what God has said, that's a lie. That's what understand means. Turn over to Mark chapter 4 real quick. Mark chapter 4. Again, this is where Jesus is talking about the same parable. Verse 20, he's talking again here. He says, Mark 4:20 says, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Say good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it. That's your third word, accept. Those who accept, A-C-C-E-P-T, accept the word. And it doesn't require a lot of explanation here. It's accepting it. Accept what God says. Receive it. Because, see, we have issues with that. We have issues with that. You know, again, our opinion, we sometimes have trouble accepting things. But not only that, think about it. Maybe as a child, daddy said, you can't go over there. Why? Why not? Because I said so. Well, there is a level of this. And we'll say, well, that's not a good enough answer. Sometimes that's the only answer. Because mom and daddy didn't have a good feeling about it. And so we need to accept it and lean upon them. They don't even know why. They just know, I don't think you need to go down there. And for every young person in here, one day you're going to be the same. And you're going to go, I don't think you need to do that. Why? I don't know why. Just don't go. And there's some things we just need to accept. And when God says it, accept it. Accept his word. All right, I'm skipping on. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Again, this is Jesus speaking of this same parable as Luke gave his account. He's sharing. We're going to go down to verse 15. And you notice again in that previous verse we read, it right at the end, it talked about, and we didn't read it all, but it talked about the good soul and receiving a blessing 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Now we're in verse 15 of Luke chapter 8. It says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So the first word was hear. Would you say that with me?
Hear.
Understand. Accept. Keep. Notice the word keep here. Keep. Terry, come here just a minute. Let me switch hands. Take my Bible. Take it.
I can't take it. Don't give it.
Take it.
You made me take it.
Take it.
Okay.
Now, do y'all get what I'm talking about here? You got to keep the word. You got to hold on to it. We have got to cling to the word. Yeah, what I'm saying is, that's what the enemy will try to do. Now, Terry's not the enemy. But the enemy will try to take God's word from us. He's saying, keep it. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. Listen, if we're going to live under the blessing of God, we've got to hold to the word. We've got to hold to his truth. And you have to exert sometimes, you have to exert yourself sometimes to make sure that I'm not just going to be flippant about this thing. And because we live in a world where the enemy is trying at his very best to dismantle the Christian church. But I want to tell you, his church shall stand. His church shall be victorious. His church is more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. And may we know that heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord shall remain in the name of Jesus. The last word is right here in the same verse. It says, keep it and bear fruit with patience. That last word is patience. So let's go through them just one more time. Say hear, understand, accept, keep, patience. Be patient. Lord, I've been clinging to you, but it just seems like one thing after another is happening in my life. Patience. God's not defeated. He's not asleep. He's not somewhere in a corner and don't care about you. Patience. But Lord, I've stood on your word in this situation. I've been trying to hold on to it and cling to it. Please have patience. That's what he says. He says, bear fruit with patience. God's a farmer. I'm a preacher farmer. So I understand farming from the sense of growing and a person growing. I'm not good in the yard. We'll just put it that way. But what I do know is, in order to bear fruit, you got to have patience. In order to have growth, you're going to have patience. Be patient. Because there's tests that we will go through. We will be tested through temptation. We'll be tested through temptation, and the enemy will try to distract us and get us off focus of God. And we've got to be careful regarding temptation. The Bible says temptation is common to man. But this is the good word. But with every temptation, he maketh a way of escape. You got to look for the escape route. That's what I have found. If you need to escape somewhere, I'm just telling you, start looking around. Where's the fire exit on this building? Where's the emergency exit? I don't think that's a bad idea to every restaurant you go in and start looking for your way out that way. Every store you go in, start thinking about it. They did place me on an airplane the other day in that emergency exit row, and I said, there ain't much reason to pay attention to that lady. If this thing going down, that door ain't going to help nothing. That's just my thoughts about it. The speed they said we was traveling, and how far we were up in the air, there may be some situations, but I'm just telling you, I couldn't think of one at that moment. But I want to tell you, with every temptation, he makes a way of escape. And then there's the testing of tragedy. I want you to hear me on this. When tragedy comes to your life, tragedy strikes at your home, you got to have patience. Because that will challenge you to the core of what you believe and what you've been holding on to, what you've been understanding, what you've been hearing, what you've been keeping, what you've accepted. But I want to tell you, be patient. God will bring you through. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word today. Thank you, Jesus, for your peace today. Thank you, Jesus. And I pray that you'd rest your hand, God, upon us, your people. And Lord, I pray that we will hear, understand, accept, keep, and that we will be patient. And God, I believe that we can experience blessed living as we cling to this reality of who you are and your word. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only he can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.